You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
National Party Treaty Negotiations spokesperson Joseph Mooney has come under fire for saying that tinaranga tiritanga, a term used to describe Māori sovereignty and te tiriti, applies to all New Zealanders, not just tangata whenua. I spoke to Professor of Māori Studies Margaret Mutu about the definition of tinaranga tiritanga and the new push to redefine te tiriti from the right. I started out by asking who tinaranga tiritanga applies to.
It applies to Māori in this country and no one else.
What was the misinterpretation of Te Tiriti's Article 2 that Joseph Mooney expressed?
Okay, so he's having a look at the Māori, which if you translate it literally, it says that it guarantees the tinaranga tiritanga of all the hapū and all people of New Zealand, or all people of this country. I can't remember the exact words. But what you have to remember is the context in which that was being written. It was being written in 1840, when the number of Māori here was in the hundreds of thousands, and you had at most 2,000 Pākehā here, and they were basically here as tourists or adventurers or temporary visitors or something like that. They certainly were not people of this country. They were people from overseas. So the treaty applies to the people of this country at the time that treaty was written. And that's why, he's chosen to put it into a current day context for people of all the people of this country, which was not the situation that was in place in 1840.
Where do you think the impulse to redefine or water down Te Tiriti comes from?
It's very much about the fact that when they came in here, despite the fact that they signed up and agreed to Te Tiriti, it was not the intent of the British. The intent of the British was to impose the doctrine of discovery, and they did that. Cook did it when he first arrived here. The doctrine of discovery allowed white Christians to go into the countries of non-white, non-Christians, to invade those countries, to exterminate or enslave all of the people, to take over all of the resources, and generally lay waste to everything. And that was a statement issued out of and authorised out of the Vatican in the 1500s or 1400s, and held on to by Europe right the way through to this day. Now, that is what was brought here to this country from Britain, and it served the British who came here extremely well. It took them from, most of them who came here were escaping the poverty and the oppression that they were suffering in Britain, and then they came over here and did to us exactly what had been done to them in Britain, and made them very wealthy, healthy, wealthy, prosperous people. They don't want to give that up. They don't want to give up that huge privilege they have developed, even though they know that that privilege was gotten off the violation and the unmitigated violence and dispossession of Māori in this country. They just do not want to give it up. And so they will, in order to do what they've done, they have had to create myths. Māori are very familiar with these myths about white supremacy and myths about that Māori shouldn't have anything, that Māori should not exist. We're very, very familiar with these myths. And those who came here who do not want to fix up the damage that colonisation did want to keep perpetuating those myths. And as the myths keep unravelling, they have to find other means to try and sew back their myths together. And so they will always be looking out for ways in which they can try and stitch back together the myth that only whites can be supreme in this country and only whites can control this country. That's what they're trying to do. It won't work because the world has moved beyond that. and Māori in particular will no longer tolerate being deprived of, being violently dispossessed, and suffering the horrific statistics that we do at the moment. We will not tolerate that any longer.
What do you think it says about the National Party that their treaty negotiation spokesperson holds a fundamentally incorrect view about the definition of Te Tiriti?
It's been the case with all governments right the way through. Their whole treaty claim settlement process is based on the doctrine of discovery. You ask the Office of Treaty Settlements who does the negotiations, they will tell you that their treaty claim settlement process is not based on Te Tiriti, the treaty, or any agreement reached with Māori. It is based on the doctrine of discovery. So all you have got there with this particular spokesperson is that he is telling the truth about where not only National, but every government in this country has come from in respect of its obligations under the treaty. Of course, the courts have overruled that. The United Nations has overruled it. New Zealand is a member of the United Nations and bound by the conventions of the United Nations, but it keeps trying to slide out of them. And it tries to slide out of them in this way so that it can keep hold of the doctrine of discovery, keep hold of the outlawed white New Zealand policy. All governments are the same. It's not just National. It's not just this one person. It's all governments.
Issues around terms like co-governance and the application of Te Tiriti have become a dog whistle for the right. How do these mischaracterisations and misunderstandings of Te Tiriti harm discussions around decolonisation?
Well, again, it's just that desperate need to hold on to these myths of white supremacy. And the myths, they've been unravelling really quickly ever since the Waitangi Tribunal started issuing reports saying that not only what governments had done was a breach of the treaty, it was also illegal and totally illegitimate in terms of all forms of Western law. The world has moved on, and you've got those who simply do not want to move on. And so they're desperately clawing back at that white supremacist notion. But I think it's not going to work. There are far too many people in this country who see that white supremacy has done such massive damage, not only to this country, but to many other countries around the world, in particular in Australia, Canada, United States. But what it's done is it's embedded racism, and that is a very shameful place for this country to be at. And the international scene, particularly in the United Nations, is really highlighting the shame that that brings upon New Zealand. We are known, New Zealand is known as one of the most deeply racist countries in the world. We will not acknowledge it. We will not, because we won't acknowledge it, we won't address it. And those who call out racism are attacked by the extreme right-wing people. But the world will not tolerate such inequality, such inequity, and such unjust behaviour that privileges one particular group of people. Just won't happen.
That was Professor Margaret Mutu on Te Tiriti and the recent comments by Joseph Mooney.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.